It is Locked On Jazz for the 25th of June. What is the value of LeBron if you put him on a bunch of different teams? Vegas chimes in. Grayson Allen video is up there, out there, and oh, no, that's Steve Klauke. Doug McDermott, Milo Teodosic, we'll take a look at them, and news around the NBA. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast about the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky little numbers, and a look behind the curtains as well. All right, today's show is we'll just kind of review a bunch of stuff, talk about two potential free agents. We'll do that up until July 1st. Here's the plan for the week. I'm going to be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday this week, and then off Friday. Head to San Diego with my daughter on get her ready for a golf tournament. And then I should be back Monday, Tuesday. Then I think Wednesday is the 4th. Back with you Thursday. And then I am gone for a while. I'll have to do something during free agency, but I'm on family vacation. So a little bit more sparse shows, but I'll have the capability to do something if I need to. Anyway, let's get to it. The Grayson Allen video is finally up. It's 9 minutes long. Apologize for that. It is on LockedOnJazz.net. It includes me watching six different games, portions or all of six different games. Duke at Boston College, Duke at Georgia Tech, Duke at Miami, Duke versus Louisville in the ACC tournament from a year ago when Donovan Mitchell played, NC State, which had Dennis Smith at Duke from a year ago, and Duke versus Michigan State this year. And so I have broken that all down for you. It includes his shooting, his drive game. I think you'll see his strengths. I think you'll see his weaknesses. He's really just my overall consensus. I know there's been a lot of noise out there and frankly have not read a lot of it. I thought Andy Larson did a good job on some of it. I didn't love referencing the message boards as insightful commentary. I would generally, no offense, but disagree with that. And I didn't see it, frankly. The biggest commentary that he's, you know, at laterally incapable defensively, I just didn't see. I mean, I have a video in there where he gets crossed over brutally when he tries to guess and he gets beat. There's also the same video where he guessed right and got Miles Bridges into a charge. So go check it out at LockedOnJazz.net. I'll hold to what I said throughout the 2 weeks prior to the draft process. I really like him. I think that he's can play the one and play the two. He sees the game well. He plays smart. He does all the little things that you need to do to be successful. He plays incredibly hard and gets all the 50-50 balls, which I love. Tells me he owns his space. And at the same time, my concern on him, interestingly enough, is shot making. I didn't think, you know, watching this year, he missed a lot of open shots. And if he makes his shots, he's going to be certainly going to be fine. But shot making is the thing. He's not. What's interesting is he tests as an elite athlete, and in the games of Duke did not show it. I don't think I saw him dunk once in six games. I'm sure he did, but I didn't see it. And to me, that'll be the task of the Jazz coaching staff with Grayson is, one, solidifying that shot a little bit, but two, what can we do to allow you to use your athleticism that you have in the workout with Jalen Brunson and Aaron Holiday and Khyri Thomas and two others, he showed it. He showed the athleticism. There's more space on the floor. It was a 3-on-3 game. But if he got an advantage and went to the basket, he rose up and just packed it. And you never saw that in the midst of a game that I watched this year. Now, I'm sure it existed, but how does he find a way to use that elite-level athleticism that he tested out with in an NBA game? Right now, his legs get spread out pretty far in the drive, pretty common, doesn't get up over the top of people in those circumstances, hasn't had enough space. Be curious to see whether or not he's able to do a little bit more of that. So that's where I stand up. 21st pick. Everyone, what do you think of the draft? I think it was great. I think for the 21st pick, we got a high-value player who can contribute, who should be able to be a rotation player in the NBA, and has probably some prospects of being a little higher, but not tremendously more than that. If I could have gotten Luka Doncic or, you know, DeAndre Ayton or someone like that, sure, but we were at 21, and the cost of having such a great season is that we're sitting at 21. All right, this week I want to look at potential free agent prospects who might be able to help us. I have not done my free agency manifesto yet. I'm not sure I'll get to that, which takes an awful lot of time. That kind of breaks down who has cap money, who's free agents, and you can start to see where everything slides in, though. To try to understand where Derek's situation is, I need to do a little of that. I mean, the real question on Derek is just what are his options truly going to be? Dallas is interesting to me and how he might fit there. They didn't take Mo Bamba and obviously trade up to get Luka Doncic, and so therefore they still have a hole in the middle. They started recirculating some about DeAndre Jordan. DeMarcus Cousins has been talked about a lot in Dallas. If I'm New Orleans, I certainly don't re-sign him, but maybe New Orleans feels that they can't let him go after all they've invested in him. So we'll see, and we'll keep an eye on it. And obviously, if Derek goes, then it might change, alter a little bit of what you're trying to do as a franchise and who you're signing. There's two names that I thought were interesting and worth talking about today. One is Doug McDermott. So McDermott, if you may recall, is out of Creighton. He came out, he was the 11th pick of Denver via Chicago via Denver. So it fits our mold of getting old Denver Nuggets draftees. He's played 4 years in the league. He hasn't really found a vibe, right? So his first year he played in Chicago, he played 36 games, had no impact, didn't have a good season. His second year, he played 81 games in Chicago, 23 minutes a night, and got pretty good. He hit 45% of his shots on the field and 42% of his threes. Averaged 9 points a game. His rebounding was not very good. In fact, it's bad. And then the next year, he gets traded to Oklahoma City in one of the big OKC deals. So after 44 games in Chicago, where he's pretty good, he's averaging 10 points a game. He started a few of them. He's shooting 37% from three. His effective field goal percentage is 52%. He's 88% from the line. He's a pretty good offensive player. He goes to OKC for 22 games. Then he gets traded in the Enes Kanter trade. He goes to New York for 55 games. And then gets moved to Dallas midway through. So he's now suddenly played for four teams in the last two seasons, which I think has kind of got him way knocked off the radar and left some questions. So who is Doug McDermott? He's 6'8", 225 pounds, probably a three. This is his problem. I don't think you can say he's a stretch four. He is just statistically an awful rebounder. So his rebounding percentage in his career is 6%. Means he gets 6% of all rebounds that are out there, which is really poor. He's not a great assist guy either. So he's really just a dead flat out catch and shoot guy. And so the problem, the reason I think he gets moved around or teams have a hard, you got to figure out, like, so what is it? Now there could be anything, right? So, you know, I think there have been players that were big time college scorers that never adjusted in their career to being bench players. And maybe his usage rate is excessive to who he is. It doesn't look it. It's at 15, 14, 16% for his career. So, you know, maybe there's some behind-the-scenes negative stuff. That's not out of the realm of possibility on him. But I think it's that you can't quite figure out how you're using him. So, and what I mean by that is you want him to be this stretch four, but he's not a good enough rebounder for it. And so he's a pretty one-dimensional catch-and-shoot guy. Now, last year in 80 games on catch and shoot threes, he hit 46%. In 2016-17, He was at 38%. He does not have an off-the-bounce game. And the year prior, he was at 44% on 15, 16 in catch and shoot. So his last 3 years, he's been 44% his last year, complete year in Chicago. And the split year between Chicago and OKC, he was 38%. And then in his year last year between New York and Dallas, he was 46% on catch and shoot. That's, and late in the clock, he's pretty good. That's big time. I mean, like, that's stretching the floor. You really got to guard him. His pack rating is a positive, despite the fact he goes to the line very little. He went to the line 6% of the time. So this is just a straight, dead catch-and-shoot guy. Now, what's interesting is he doesn't take as many threes as you would think. It's probably bad. Probably means he could get better. He had a .3 pack, points above average created. We always want positive. He only took 36% of his shots as threes, which is low. You would think that a guy, so he's getting some mid-range shots, or if he's playing off the bounce, he's getting run off the three-point line into some mid-range shots. 36% of their shots as threes. Comparison on the Jazz is, there really isn't a great one. Jay Crowder was at 41%, so less threes than Jay Crowder took. Donovan was at 32%. Joe Ingles at 51%. You'd like, if you have Doug McDermott, you want Doug McDermott at 51%. So that's just a name I would throw out there. I don't know what his money value is going to be. I don't know. I mean, just, right, strength and weaknesses. It's not like you have to have him. But I really think he's a three, probably not a ball-handling three, and not someone you can turn into a stretch four. No one has successfully done that yet as much as that's what they want to do with him. I think that's what's interesting. All right, what is the value of LeBron and another player that should be available that might be of interest, Milos Teodosic? Plus some news and notes around the NBA all coming up. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Chevy. Me and the Chevy Colorado are getting tight. I'm telling you, it's great. Chevy is the best lineup of trucks there is. The Silverado and the Chevy Colorado cover all the bases of everything you'd need in a truck. I don't think anyone else has the same lineup as Chevy has. Because when you dig into it, Chevy's got the Silverado, which is the heavy duty, the light duty half-ton truck Silverado, and the mid-size truck Colorado, and the Colorado Diesel, which I'm driving right now. They're all unibody frame, which is safer. It's the only truck lineup with all three segments. Just terrific. Murdoch and Chevy have been together for 91 years. They are bread and butter Chevy. Chevy runs deep. The SUV lineup on Chevy is amazing. Suburban, Tahoe, Equinox, Traverse now with 3 rows of seating in the and the tracks. Get it all at Murdoch Chevy in Woods Cross, right off the freeway. Stop by, say hi to Tyson, and when you're there, you get the Murdoch guarantee of a no-regrets experience. They'll do everything they can to help you out. Extend the hours of their service department so it's more convenient for you. Give you car washes and safety inspection for life. It's all part of the essence of who Murdoch is. Find new roads at Murdoch Chevy. All right. Milo Teodosic. So the backstory on Milos Teodosic, he was a point guard last year. Oh, by the way, one note on McDermott. I meant to mention, so defensively, I think the feeling is he's awful. His real plus minus last year as a defensive player, according to, and real plus minus is year to year, is not the greatest statistical look, but gives you something. He was 87th out of 92 small forwards. Ugh. Okay. So 87th out of 92 small forwards. We probably have to be a little careful on something that severe. But the other question is, do we ever have the ability with Rudy to go get someone that, and maybe he's not good enough. The only guys that were worse were Andrew Wiggins, Chandler Parsons in his 36 games, TJ Warren, Darius Miller in New Orleans, and Jonathan Simmons in Orlando. It's interesting. Didn't used to put Jonathan Simmons there. All right, the next one is Milos Teodosic. Backstory on Teodosic is that he was the played in kind of the he was the great point guard of Europe. He's 31 years old. He's 6'5". He came and played for the Clippers last year. Could not physically stay healthy. He's opted in. His guarantee doesn't happen until the 15th. That everyone believes the Clippers are going to release him between now and July 15th. So last year, as a rookie, he played only 45 games. He did start 36. He shot 42%, 38% from three. He was a wizard. And every time he was on the floor, the Clippers got better. And when he got hurt, we all kind of knew that was the end of the Clippers. He had become their glue. His pack is average. He shot 49% of his shots as twos. He never went to the free throw line. Never. I think he shot like 45 free throws the entire year. This is another one. He also doesn't go to the rim a great deal. He took just 6% of his shots at the rim. But he's kind of the wizard, right? Like, he suddenly just makes everyone better. In real plus minus last year, he, for point guards, he was 35th in the league. He actually was right next to Neto. Overall in real plus minus, Neto's defense was better. Teodosic's offense was better. Defensively, in defensive real plus minus. By the way, DeJounte Murray was one. Tyus Jones was the second best defensive real plus minus player. And there's a chance they're going to re-sign Derrick Rose in Minnesota, which should make Tyus Jones available, which is an interesting kind of name. Ricky Rubio was fifth best defensively, by the way. Neto was 19th best in real plus minus. And Teodosic, who is just not fleet of foot, is not an athlete, was 43rd. So middle of the pack, a little better than middle of the pack defensively. These are just guys. Like, you just have, this is guys that the Jazz are going to look at and talk about and evaluate. And you have to decide whether they're somebody you're interested in and whether they complement our roster. Teodosic could be really cheap. I mean, there's a chance if Teodosic wants to just stay in the NBA that if he, with this marketplace, he could be a minimum salary. By the way, DeLon Wright of Toronto was 20th defensively in real plus minus and overall was 18th of all point guards. Just an interesting player. I just feel like he complements the Jazz well and where he would fit into things. Just a thought. If you put LeBron James on any team in the league, what happens? Well, that's what CBS Sports did. They went to the guys at Sportsline Data. And if LeBron is on Cleveland, they have a 30 next year. He has them with a 61% chance of winning their conference. But the title chance of just... Or no, to win 61% of games, win 50 games, playoffs 100%, and title chances 1.8. If LeBron leaves the Cavaliers, they project the Cavaliers as a 28-win team. If LeBron goes to the Lakers, as they sit right now, before they add Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Chris Paul, whatever it might be, they have an 87% chance of making the playoffs. They're expected to win 49 games, up from 29. So LeBron's worth 20 wins and a 3.6 chance of winning it all. They would finish fourth in all likelihood in the Western Conference. Wow. LeBron goes to the Rockets. They're projected to win 68 games, be the number one seed, and a 38% chance of winning the title. If he goes to the 76ers, they would jump from 56 wins to 65 wins, be the number one seed in the East, and have a 37% chance of winning the title. If he goes to the Spurs and Kawhi Leonard stays, they would be 63 wins, second in the conference, 38% chance to win a title. I've got to assume we'd be right around there. Golden State, 72 wins, number one, 75% chance to win a title. Clippers, they go from 31 wins without him to 47 wins with him, sixth in the West, and a 1% chance. And the interesting one is Miami. Miami, he goes to 58 wins from 43, 15-win impact. Number one in the conference, and a 15% chance to win the title. So, according to the simulation, Miami up 16 wins, Clippers up 16 wins, Golden State only 7, San Antonio 8, Philadelphia 9, Houston 10, Lakers 19, Cavaliers 22. That just assumes you put LeBron on those teams with nothing else there. Pretty wild. Today's show brought to you in part by Intercap Lending. Intercap Lending is a 40-year-old company that moved to Utah in April of 2016. Josh Romney brought them to Utah. They do things a bit differently. They're hyper-responsive, they embrace change, and they give an incredible borrower experience. The first thing is they're a direct issuer, so they service your own loan. Long-term relationship, that creates a better deal for the customer. You're not getting moved around everywhere. Second thing is because they're a direct issuer, they have no overlays, no additional requirements, and they can deal with difficult loans. Are you self-employed, business assets, multiple properties? Let them take a look at your loan and see what they can do. Also, low credit. You've been turned down before because of any of these reasons. Being turned down is often just a case that you have something unique and there's not an adjustable aspect in most of the banks, and Intercap has that. So this 40-year-old company will be there for you. They're a leader in the App Store, doing a great job with Intercap Lending app. Download it. You can actually get your pre-qualified in the information of the app right away and give it to your realtor if you're in the markets right now. Steve Carter's who's helped us out. He'll help you out at 385-885-28. That's 385-885-28. Intercap Lending. If you do your loan with them, they will give you a free appraisal. Also, Intercap Lending is NMLS number 190465. For more information, visit intercaplending.com. Again, that's Steve Carter, 385-885-28. That's 385-885-28. All right, let's run through some of the news and notes around the league. Interesting one to watch in Orlando. They have now got Mo Bamba and Jonathan Isaac. I don't know how much Steve Clifford wants to completely rebuild, but how much are they willing to pay Aaron Gordon if they've now drafted Mo Bamba and Jonathan Isaac, both who are going to be incredible defensive players? I mean, that could just be an amazing defensive team. So what are they, what are they planning to do? Melo opted in. Oklahoma City's pumping out the numbers about the fact that when Andre Robertson was healthy, they were great, and trying to make sure that Paul George stays. I'll give Paul George credit. I actually think Paul George maybe deserves more credit this whole time. His exit from Indiana was a little ugly, except for the fact that he gave them a chance to go get something done for him rather than just leaving in free agency, which he said he was going to do. So that's, frankly, better. Indiana got a better deal than someone like Gordon Hayward, who stayed quiet, didn't bother everyone, didn't say anything, and then the Jazz got nothing for him. Indiana at least was able to pull off a deal for him. And then secondarily, he's played this Oklahoma City cards perfectly right now. And what I mean by that is, he really has got everyone believing that he's considering coming back to Oklahoma City, which maybe he is. It's certainly not his first choice. I mean, or else he'd just sign up. He's trying to figure out what the landscape of the league's going to be, but he's done a nice job of at least maintaining that he likes Oklahoma City and that if he ends up back there, he's happy. So he didn't. He's done a good job of managing that. So I actually give Paul George a lot of credit. Phoenix is unlikely to pick up the options for Alex Len or Elfrid Payton. It'll be interesting to see what Elfrid Payton's market is and whether people think he's any good. Top 10 draft picks often get the second chance to prove that they're good when maybe they never should have been. But Payton was the 10th pick by Orlando. career 30% three-point shooter in Phoenix, playing on a team that didn't care if they won or not. He did more, but I'm not sure. You know, he's probably a backup point guard, and then I'm not sure if from there what he is. And if he can't shoot, then I'm not sure he's actually really even a backup point guard you desperately want to have. So interesting name just out there. Alex Len's another one that never quite developed in Phoenix. They're clearly moving on from them. The Chris Paul Houston Rockets story is worth keeping an eye on. They're claiming there's no problems after reports of problems. I don't think Chris Paul bypassing the money, I know he's head of the union, so that's hard, and ending up in L.A. with LeBron is totally out of the window. But he'd have to know how much he's bypassing, and it could be an awful lot. Lots of talk about Kemba Walker still circulating out and about, and we'll see how that plays out, whether or not anything happens. And tonight is the 2018 award ceremony for the NBA Awards. So Rudy Gobert should win his Defensive Player of the Year. James Harden will win the MVP. Ben Simmons, I think, will take the Rookie of the Year over Donovan Mitchell. And Coach of the Year is going to be tight. I think there's a real chance that Quinn Snyder gets it. Brad Stevens probably would get it after the postseason, despite I'm not entirely sure that what Boston did was more impressive than what Utah did, but it was another round. And so he'll get credit for that with all the injuries that they had. Dwayne Casey also there as a possibility. So big NBA award show tonight. We'll see whether, there'll be a lot of features, a lot of Jazz involvement though, which is cool. Another PR night for the Utah Jazz, frankly. So should be interesting to see if Quinn wins Coach of the Year. We'll get to see Rudy win Defense of the Year, and I'm sure Donovan will take a very high profile as he has been probably the single most talked about player in the league. That is Locked On Jazz. Thanks very much for tuning in. The Grayson Allen video is at lockedonjazz.net. Make sure you go check that out and see what you think of the Jazz latest draft pick. Summer League stuff gets started here shortly. This has been Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Get your latest at lockedonsports.com and lockedonjazz.net.